Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman. I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And man, do we have a lot of things to talk about. Trayvon Bermell going on Instagram Live and someone just talking crazy about him right to his face in all of U.S. sprinting as a whole. Devin Allen, the two-time Olympian, announcing he is going to be going over to the football field and trying out in the NFL. We had a potential world-leading time in the 100, might not even be legit, and then why college needs more dual meets. I'm telling you, we need to see it. All of that and more. Make sure you subscribe, leave a review, give us a comment. Let us know that you're enjoying the show. If you're listening to us over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you want to get the visual version where we have different clips and photos, go and follow us over on YouTube, Track World News. You can get some extra clips and all that type of stuff. Now, let's get right into the episode. So, this was something that took the entire track world by storm. So, on, I believe it was Sunday night, we had Trayvon Bermell, so the world leader in the 100 last year, going on Instagram Live. And so, he said he was talking about a whole bunch of stuff. I requested, actually. We got into the Instagram Live a little bit, discussed some things about what's coming up with this season, you know, other off the track stuff. We chatted for five or 10 minutes. And then I get off. I had to go grocery shopping. So I go grocery shopping and I'm coming back and I see that he's still on Instagram Live and there's a second bubble there. I'm like, all right, like let's see what's going on. And so we tune in. And I'm just hearing this dude I've never heard of talking crazy to Trayvon Bermell. And when I say talking crazy, I mean talking crazy. So this guy, if you were not there, he's a track fan. He's very knowledgeable on the sport. He knows almost all the times from everybody, you know, down to the hundredth of the second, knows the placing and all of that. So this guy, he's very knowledgeable on the sport. He competed up into high school. His name's Mario, I believe. And he was talking crazy on Trayvon Bermell, saying, yo, you're soft, you're slow, like you don't have that top end speed, you don't have that killer mentality, right to his face. And this was crazy. Like this blew up in Trayvon Bermell's Instagram Live. It went from having about 90 to 100 people in it to now over 600 people were watching this Instagram Live of this guy just going wild on Trayvon. And then after that, we saw Marvin Bracey. He actually got added on. He put on a ski mask. We had Ski Mask Marv in there a little bit. And they were both, all three of them, going at it about, you know, is USA track and field soft? The shortcomings that Trayvon Bermell had, obviously, because he did not perform up to the best of his abilities in the Olympics, being the number one seeded guy in the beginning and then bouncing out in the semifinals. There were discussions on that. They even brought up Fred Curley into the mix and saying, you know, this guy was saying how what he did in the 400 going down to the 100 wasn't that impressive, and that somehow Fred Curley's soft too, which, if you're calling Fred Curley soft, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no way. That's the fact. But it was wild. And so want to break down what I saw happen and then my opinion on the takes. So what we saw was Trayvon maintaining his composure very well. The harassment, or not the harassment, but like the hate that he was seeing and what was going on was a lot. I mean, this guy was not holding back. He was talking the entire time about how he has come up short at all points of his career. He's just going in on him on why what he's done is just not successful. He is saying he's relentless. But Trayvon is calm, cool, and collective the entire time. Like, this is a time where many athletes, and if you go on Twitter, many athletes had admitted that he has patience that many people would not have been able to do. Most people would have just blocked them from the live or made them leave, like, or started yelling and talking some other crazy stuff right back at him. But Trayvon was staying calm, cool, and collective. And the guy was kind of putting that against him as if like, oh, look, he doesn't have that killer instinct. He's staying calm. But it's like, you got to remember, Trayvon knows that there's a this win, if he went off on this guy and won the argument, he very much could lose the war of, remember, this guy is sponsored by New Balance. He is one of the biggest names in track and field. And if he goes off publicly on some random fan, yelling at some random fan about, you know, saying even crazier things right back, do you think that New Balance and all of them would want to continue to sponsor him? No. And so I bet you that he knows that. Trayvon knew that you can't say anything in that those cases because now you're in an issue. And so keeping that composure was very impressive because it would have been very easy to just go off and yell and, you know, just be an irritant and say ignorant stuff. And he didn't do that. And I got to applaud him for it. What was the guy saying? Were there some things of truth in what he was saying? Yes, of course. I think that the guy said and had some valid points. He also had some very poor points as well. And so some valid points that he had, I mean, he was saying, did Trayvon choke? I mean, he did. Trayvon even admitted that he did earlier on in the live, that he choked in the Olympics. He was the number one seed. He didn't make it to the final. I mean, that's what it is. And this is coming from a guy who has choked several times in his career. I've mentioned it many times in the podcast. I will continue to mention it. I did not reach my fullest potential. And all of that was from choking. At the biggest meets that I competed in my career, I fell up short when I was supposed to succeed. Coming in as the number one seed, and then no hiding. I've done it several times. So I know a thing or two about choking because I've done it. Sure, it wasn't at the Olympic stage, but I was never going to be at the Olympic stage. The best that I would have done would be at conferences. And I've choked several times there, so I know a thing or two about this. And he choked for whatever reason it is, whether it's he was not feeling great and he was not healthy. I mean, obviously, we don't know what was going on there. Maybe the sleep schedule wasn't great. Maybe there was some type of little nagging injury, or it was just, you know, a bad race. We don't know, because this is one 10-second race. And so to look too far into it, I think, is unfair, because it's one 10-second race. I don't think I can justify and you can claim that to be your entire career. But he had some valid points. And the issue that I had with it were not the points that he was making, but the way that he was getting them across. Because he's getting them across trying to tear him down and in a very negative way. And that's obviously going to get the clicks. Like, the way that he was doing this was very good if you want the attention. Like, by being brash and saying crazy things, you're going to get the attention, because that's what people are interested in. Like, that gets the clicks. The controversy gets the clicks. But is it the right thing to do, quote unquote? No. Like, he could have easily have just said, look, man, like, I want USA track and field to be at its best. And what you performed at the Olympics, we're not at your best. You know that. You were the number one guy and it didn't work out. And so I would like to see our top athletes performing at elite levels when the competition and the pressure is at its highest. And that would be a fair point, because who wouldn't want their favorite athletes to perform? Like, if you mentioned to LeBron talking about, like, hey, man, like, we want you to be performing at your best when it matters the most, you know, when the playoff time and getting into crunch time. I mean, right now they're not even in the playoffs. So, I mean, that would be a fair point. We saw, interestingly enough, this happen in the NBA with the Lakers, with Russell Westbrook, when a commentator was talking about, look, you guys aren't even in the playoffs. He was doing what this guy was doing to Trayvon Bermel to Russell Westbrook. It was right in his face. And he was like, look, y'all ain't competing. You guys are not competing at a high level. And, you know, the way Russell took it one way, saying, yo, this is a team game. We're doing as much as we can and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But it was, it was crazy. It was great entertainment. Like, I enjoyed it a lot. There were some just wild points being thrown across. Like, hey, you're not a student of the game. You are a student of the game. And so what are my takeaways from something like this? One, I think that it was good for the sport. I think having something like this is good for it because more people are talking about it. I am of the mind, that more, or any press is good press to an extent. But having this type of conversation where people that aren't as interested in track and field are now tuning in because they heard about what just went down 2 days ago. That's important. Or is this kind of controversy going to get in the person that is not a track and field fan at all? No. Will it get the person that is a casual fan to tune in? Yeah. And so that's a positive. That's a net positive for our sport, because now people are going to look at Trayvon Bermell's next race, and people are going to look at USA's very closely and the World Championships very closely. If he wins Worlds, is Trayvon going to, you know, mention this guy at all? Is he going to talk about what just happened? These are all things that people are going to want to know. And they're valid points. I think that it's making more people on edge and excited for what happens next. And so, is this something that we want to happen all the time? No, this isn't something that we want to see happen, you know, relatively soon. But it's good every once in a while to have just somebody going off, because these are people that in any other sport would never be given the time of day. Like if you go on NBA Twitter, NFL Twitter, you'll see all those just random faces of, you know, their cartoon characters, the no name, the egg shapes, just talking about crazy stuff on all of their NBA players and whatever it is. And no one gives them the time of day. And right here, the number one athlete in our entire sport gave someone who in any other sport would not be given the time of day a chance to speak about stuff. And he had some interesting points that he was making. There were definitely better ways that it could have came across, but it was some interesting points. And now more people are tuning in to what's going to be happening in the future. And so I think it's a net positive. I have no idea how Trayvon Bermell is taking it. Like, of course, and he would never tell any of us, like, hey, how was he feeling after something like this happened? Was this something where he, after this event, he's just like brushed it off, like that means nothing, like I don't care, had a laugh about it, it's no issue? Or was this something where he gets off that Instagram live and goes, dang, is he right? Like, does he start, you know, batting at himself and start second guessing what's going on and take it seriously? And is this going to be a big issue? Like, there, I probably would. If there was somebody, if I was on Instagram live and somebody comes up to me and just starts, you know, all of your content's terrible, you've never made a good interview, you've never done any of this positive, it's all been bad, you don't have the longevity, you're not going to be really good, someone's telling that to me, that to my face, man, I would be thinking about that for a while. And so I wouldn't put it past him if that's something that got to him. We saw Sydney McLaughlin not too long ago become very vulnerable when she was in her car, like, and talking about how different haters and people have gotten to her and the way that it's affected her personal life. And so we see that happen. And normally these things are in the shadows. Normally these types of comments are just that, comments. But here, this guy was saying it right to his face. And I don't know how it would affected him, but I know if that was me, you know, that can easily affect you. And that can be something that you think about for a while. And hopefully he can turn that into a positive and be able to attack this year and be really, really good at that. But that was wild. Definitely something that was interesting. And we'll see if we see anything like that happening again sometime soon. Then next, want to talk about Devin Allen. So Devin Allen, who is the two-time Olympian, he made the Olympic final in 2020 in Tokyo. He placed fourth, just barely out of the medal contention. He's announced that following the World Championships this year, he is going to be competing in football, which is wild. It's like a lot of people are like, man, one of the top guys dropping out of this sport in pursuit of the NFL. Now, we're going to be discussing this more in depth because on Saturday, if you're listening to this in the first week, on Saturday, we're actually going to be interviewing Devin Allen. And so you're going to be hearing from the horse's mouth about what's going on with this the NFL thing. So we'll have some more insight there. But this is not the first time that we're hearing about this. Back in 2016, when he turned pro, he actually mentioned that this was a goal of his. He said that he wanted to break the world record, win the Olympic gold medal, and then following 2020, he wanted to go back and turn back to the NFL, try out football. So this is just pushing that back 2 years, obviously one because of COVID, and two, the World Championships is in Eugene, and so he wants to go and compete on his home soil and compete well in front of many of his home fans. And so he mentioned also, like, it's now or never. He's 27 years old. If he doesn't decide to do the NFL now, he's going to be in his 30s attempting to come back. I mean, he's 27 now. After the by the time the season gets started, he's going to be in his 28. He's going to be 29. Like, you don't have much time left, and you know, to try these things out. And so it's just interesting to see that we have one of the top guys in our sport trying out for the NFL. And I mean, a lot of people, if you don't know his background, you might just be like, oh, this is just a hurdler that is really good at hurdling and he's trying out in the NFL. So stupid. No, he has got some serious football talent. Of all of the football players that have tried out to be in the NFL and have tried in the track and field world, he's probably the most qualified, at least in recent terms, going from track, a primary track guy, to the NFL. Back when he was in Oregon, he had the second most receptions on the entire team. This is the year that Marcus Mariota was the quarterback. They came in second. They lost in the national championship. He just ran a 4.35. I mean, this guy has good speed. He's played football at a very high level before. He got injured in the Rose Bowl on a punt return when he got, you know, his ACL taken out, and then he got another injury in the start of the next season in 2016. And so he definitely has that bug. Clearly, he's trying to go back. And so I'm interested to see, how long has he been training for this type of stuff? Is this something where he's just making the decision now? Has he been doing some football practice recently? Because obviously he mentioned in 2016 that this was the plan, but has he been, how often has he been training? He did the Oregon Pro Day not too long ago. He looked pretty good, but once again, he's not looking to get drafted. He doesn't have draft stock or draft eligibility. Right now, he'd be going through the free agency and hoping, you know, trying out for teams and stuff like that. So excited to see what happens for him. Like we mentioned, we're going to be having Devin Allen on the podcast this Saturday. So if that episode hasn't released yet, it will be releasing very, very soon. Next, gotta talk about something that's pretty crazy in my mind. So this was this past weekend at Mount SAC. This guy named Ilya Garcia, he is a sprinter for Mount SAC Community College, one of the biggest, probably the biggest community college in track and field that we have. He's ran a 9.88 into a headwind, and that's the world lead. And we didn't hear much about it. He ran this time, and we didn't see much from World Athletics, nothing from the NCAA or USATFCCCA. Like, we didn't see anything from them. The only thing we really got was a video of the actual race that happened, and then a post from Mount SAC Track and Field describing the race and all of that, and how he was the record and the world lead. And so the issues that we have, so a lot of people have brought up, like, potential issues on this time. And I'm not going to take a side yet. I'm just going to share with you the potential issues that have been brought up, and then we'll go over my thoughts at the end. So issue number one, the result is not in World Athletics, and it's not in TFERS. As of recording this episode, I'm recording this episode on Monday night. So as of that, the results haven't been up yet. And keep in mind, all other results are up, and if you go onto the Mount SAC website, you can see they have a recap of the meet, but they do not have the actual results. So it's not in TFERS, and it's not in World Athletics. That's issue number one. Issue number two, there was a, and this is in descending order, so that's the biggest one for me, and then we'll go to the next one. Issue number two, there was a video taken of it, and so someone did a time of once the competition started to when it ended, and right at 9.88, it doesn't look like he had crossed the line yet. It looked like he was about 3 meters off. And so it's like, okay, did the line get measured wrong? Was it a false start? What's going on there? So that's issue number two. Issue number three is that we saw these same results for everyone. So this guy is a traditional 10.2, 10.1 guy. Very fast. Like, he's a very, very fast kid. And he then pops out of nowhere a 9.88 in the beginning of the season into a headwind. Like, man, what's going on? Like, that is a crazy jump. He ran a 10, I think a 10.22 just the week before, to then running a world-leading time. Like, that's an insane jump. And we also saw PRs from pretty much everybody in the competition. And so everyone is seeing a similar amount of improvement here. And so the question is, was there some type of measuring error on the track? Was there some type of issue when it came to the recording or the times? And that's what I'm seeing. We're not saying this guy's slow. He's running fast times. But we're saying that some stuff ain't adding up. And it's weird that we haven't gotten results yet. Usually we would be getting results by now, but we haven't. And so I'm wondering when that type of stuff's going to be coming out, because it's a little strange that it hasn't. Next, want to talk about the dual meet that Texas had versus Texas A&M. And so I wish the track and field would have more dual meets like this. This was a competition that was close down to the entire wire. It was only separated between a few points between the men and the women. Texas ended up winning it for both sides. They have the best teams in the country. And we're seeing crazy great competitions, crazy great results. I think in part that they were going up against their rivals, and it's a 1v1 competition. It's one thing when you have national championships and you're going up against everybody, but just going up head-to-head against your rival, you know that it's you or it's me. Then the competition is more important than the results. And because the competition is more important than, you know, your times and whatever, you're going a little extra hard. You know, it's exciting. And so I wish we would see more of these types of competitions. And you would ask, like, hey, what are some, who are some teams you would like to see compete against each other? Well, in the SEC, would love to see Georgia versus LSU. Would also probably like to see, you could see LSU versus Florida. Would like to see, you could see Texas A&M versus Florida. Would like to see USC versus Oregon. That's some stuff we would like to have go down. Kentucky versus Florida. Like, there's a lot of really great competitions that I feel would be excellent to watch, and getting more rivalries within the conferences would be great. I know that my school, we have a dual meet against St. Francis. It's us versus Mount St. Mary's or St. Francis. Obviously, two extremely small schools, but it's fun. Like, those competitions are really great, because it's like, it's us versus you, and whoever comes out, scores the most points, wins the meet. And so we'd like to see more dual meets like this, because we saw some great results. Jonathan Jones leading the nation in the 400 and the 800 with a time of 45.07 that he ran this week, and then he ran a 145.83 earlier on in the year. And so we're seeing some crazy competitions, and I would love to get more dual meets. I think it just makes track and field even more exciting. And so let's get more of those on the docket. That's going to be it for us here at Track World News. I know we did not talk too much about results, but I thought these were a little bit more interesting. If you want to get recaps on the results, there's plenty of pages that you could go, that you can do. We will even post results a little bit here, but I thought you wanted to change it up a little bit and hear more just commentary and my opinion on things. So that's going to be it for us. Have a good one. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like, subscribe.